Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
To Mo Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. Got the full crew here for, I guess we'll call this an emergency recording of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we had to get a little off schedule this week, but we're back. And, you know, we were kind of 50-50 on whether we were going to get this Packers preview in. Just based on the state of the Packers, really not a lot to get into with that team because they're not good. But, you know, our man Saxy Prince, I guess, you know, he just didn't want us to be without content. So, you know, he went and dropped an article today, you know, said Vikings Twitter on fire. So we're going to get into that a little bit. But before we get too deep into what we're going to talk about, I guess we should do a little bit of introduction here. So we'll start with QB1. JR, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, man? Looking forward to the game today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Miles. You said you got a little break from puppy parenting, man. What's going on, dude?
Mainly a break from work. I don't have to work for the next, like, 12, 13 days.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful thing right there.
It is.
That's a beautiful thing. I love that. No work until January for myself as well. And the man, the myth, the legend, the fraud, Saxy Prince. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, man. How's it going, y'all? I'm just chilling. Kind of like, y'all, I don't get the rest of the year off, but, you know, I'm off work until Wednesday. So for the time being, I'm just going to be a pretend writer and, you know, make some music.
Well, all right. Well, let's get to it. We'll waste no time because, you know, for the last little while, you know, on this very podcast, we've been giving you a bit of grief on your Case Keenum takes, some of the skepticism that you're showing towards Case based on, you know, what he's been able to put together over the course of this season. And, I mean, you kind of flipped it a little bit. You wrote an article with a very, very catchy, some might say clickbaity headline saying Case Keenum is a fraud. And, of course, because, you know, of the era that we're in, people kind of took the headline and ran with it and didn't really get into the nuts and bolts of the story. It was a good, quick read where you kind of get into it and you break it down for us in terms of what Case Keenum had been before this year, what he's shown us this year with a better supporting cast. And then, you know, the kind of the twist on it was, you know, maybe this is actually the real Case Keenum versus what we thought he was. And our past imagining of Case Keenum was more fraudulent. Good read, like I said. But it really seemed to get some folks worked up. And I know that you, myself, Miles, we had some kind of back and forth and discussions about, you know, the meat and the guts of the article there. But, you know, since, you know, we have you on the podcast, it gave you an opportunity to kind of lay out your thoughts, what got you to write this article, what you were trying to get across from it, and kind of what the response has been like for you thus far. Because I clicked on it to Daily Norseman, and I think you're well over 100 comments on the article already.
Yeah, maybe for those who haven't read the article, yes, I am indeed the author of the piece. It's actually something I've had, you know, kind of in my, in my own drafts for, you know, a few weeks actually right now, and I was kind of waiting for an opportune time to finally like release it. And you know, I found some other, you know, stats and some other comments that people were making, and I felt like, hey, you know, this would be a good time to release it. You know, the title was actually the first thing that I wrote about the piece, you know, a few weeks ago. I knew that it was going to elicit a response. I didn't know what kind of response, but I knew it would elicit some sort of response. It was intended to have a sense of provocation to it. Just because I, you know, as a musician, I'm a jazz musician, so I like doing things that, you know, really get people, you know, get people worked up talking about it and stuff and engaging good dialogue and whatnot. Did I expect the level of vitriol from, you know, a section of Vikings Twitter? Yeah, a little bit. But then I, you know, something that I did try to do is engage with folks who, you know, maybe had, you know, some strong feelings against them, just, you know, try to get them to understand where I was coming from. You know, the title is a little bit misleading. It wasn't intended to be clickbait, but I understood that we are in an era where people don't always read things before they want to comment on them. But I would tell people like, hey, you know, go read the article. The brief overview of the article just kind of just basically says, Jason, you touched on it, like, hey, you know, maybe the Case Keenum that we all knew, maybe those of us who still remain skeptical of him as a person, and I think it's still fair to remain healthily skeptical, because, I mean, stats do show, you know, a guy who, you know, a few years later into his career finding this much success, it should cause still a little bit of skepticism, even though I go into the article and I basically say, like, hey, maybe this is closer to what he actually is. I did say Case Keenum is a fraud rather than saying was a fraud, mostly because, you know, for some, that was our still in our forefront is our thought about Case Keenum, is that he is still that guy who, you know, bottom third of the league in every statistical category, really never showed anything to be any kind of close to be a top 10 quarterback. But he has shown that this season. It can't be denied. He ranks really highly in most statistical categories. And, you know, the article shows part of why that is, which I do truly believe is supporting Cass. But at the same time, and maybe I didn't do a good enough job explaining for those who maybe didn't quite get the point, is, you know, his play has improved this season. I mean, you've even seen the improvement of his play from the beginning of the season towards what he's doing now. You know, there's still signs of things that, you know, pop up every so often, but I think that's become more rare than not. So yeah, that was kind of my thought behind the article and whatnot. As someone who has been quite a bit of a Case Keenum skeptic, it was something that I felt like I needed to get out there, as far as I still have some skepticism, but at the same time, like, his play has impressed me in certain spots and whatnot. And I know there are things that I'm still waiting to see from him, but, you know, some of those things are a little unfair, as far as, you know, in order for us to see him in those lights, you know, the team has to be playing pretty poorly. And I know I don't want that. At the same time, just moving forward, going to a playoff push, those are some of the things I want to see him being able to do. So that's kind of where the article came from. And I know I had, my mentions were kind of a mess. You know, subtweets, quote tweets, a lot of people really angry. But I do recommend at least giving the article at least one or two reads, so you can really maybe get the essence of what I was trying to get at. As well as, you know, if you have any opinions of your own, you know, I welcome them.
And so one of the things that I have to kind of comment on here is one of the things, and I'm gonna let Miles hop in, because even in this conversation we're having right now, as we're talking about Case Keenum, and this is one of the points that Miles made when we were kind of, you know, talking in the group message earlier, is that it seems like even now, and in the article, you could probably feel that a little bit, is, you know, that skepticism that you do have for Case Keenum, it's still very strong. And so it feels like even when you do have, you know, a positive about Case Keenum, there's a caveat that generally follows very quickly, like, but supporting cast, but this. And so It almost feels like maybe there's an element of backhandedness, or the compliment's not all the way there. I guess, Miles, when you jumped in and you read the article, and now obviously having some time to, you know, discuss it with Prince, and again here listening to him talk about it on the podcast, I guess, what were your thoughts on it? And then what were your thoughts on, I guess, the reaction that that the article elicited after, you know, you read it and could understand where Prince was coming from with it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, having a good relationship with definitely helps better understand the overall article, just because, you know, we know Prince, we know the way he writes, we know the way he thinks, and at least the way he thinks, the way he writes, just because of, you know, how much interaction we have with each other on a daily basis. But I definitely got into it and I was like, this is definitely a well-written piece. It's I don't think the title does it justice for the fact that I think Prince's idea of and the points he was trying to get across, see and react off of titles And that's pretty much 99% of folks, when they see an article online, they react to the headline, which is the point. I think it rubs some people the wrong way because they just assumed that based off of what they know from Yinka, what they know of his some of the skepticism he has shown for Case Keenum, or you know, and all that over the, you know, throughout the season, and the way he's talked and stuff like that at times about, you know, just not completely buying in. I think some people just felt that they saw the headline and they were like, yeah, this is a negative article. This is, we're 11-3. Why would you do this at this, like, right now? And just kind of one of those, like, just people didn't understand, or they're not willing to, like, hear Prince out. So I just think the headline kind of didn't do the article itself justice for what Prince is trying to get across, but I understand why he did what he did, and I know we had that conversation. I guess for me, again, really well-written article. I think I agree with a lot of the points that Prince has to make. But I do, you know, I did have the questions about, you know, you're willing to compliment Case, but there's always that but aspect to it. Like, Case is playing like a top 10 quarterback, but this, but that. Again, though, what's great about Prince is he's always willing to communicate and have a conversation about, you know, his thoughts and his ideas and what he's seeing and what he's, you know, why he's writing about what he's writing about. So I really enjoy that. And I guess my only question for you at this point now, Prince, though, is the timing aspect of the article. I know there hasn't been a lot of stuff going on, basically just because the Packers aren't a very good football team right now. But we're 11-3. I guess the question is kind of like, why now? Why the timing? Why'd you pick this week as the week to make, you know, kind of release the article?
Yeah, that's a good question that you guys had. And I think part of it was, like I said, it's been in my drafts for a few weeks actually right now. And I think part of what it was, you know, I needed, you know, part of my skepticism kind of really boiled down. You really saw it after I went on that rant, you know, about like a month and a half ago or whatnot, because I was pretty fed up with watching Case Keenum on tape over and over again. I there were things that I was just seeing that, like, this, I wish this dude was better. But then, you know, after the bye, I did start to see Case, you know, dial it back a little bit. I don't know if it's just Case, but obviously it could be coaching staff telling, like, hey, we need you to rein it in. Regardless of what the case was, I did see Case improve in areas that, you know, I had personally criticized him for. Maybe not the level of improvement that I would have liked, but again, that was, we understood that it was a bit nitpicky as far as Case Keenum, because he just wants what's best for the team. But after a certain amount of games, and even after the Carolina game, I purposely chose not to do that, because again, it felt like if I had released that article after the Carolina game, in which I was fairly comfortable enough saying that Case Keenum, that wasn't his best game of the season, I think it would have turned off even more people, because it would have felt like maybe I was beating up on Case. Last week, I think he did have a bounce back game, and, you know, I could have waited to release the article at the end of the season. But I feel comfortable enough in Packer week, knowing that he's going to face the Packers again. And he's played better than my expectation was. And I can't just say he's in the top 10 of being a quarterback just because of his supporting cast. I have to give him credit as far as his play, the things that he's done on the field. I've complimented him several times on his ability to extend plays, his pocket presence, just being able to, you know, find Thielen and Diggs, and, you know, some of the throws that he's made in tight window throws. I think I saw some stat that he's one of the top quarterbacks right now as far as tight window throws. So, I mean, I guess I didn't have a specific, oh, yeah, it had to be today, it had to be that. But it was one of those things where it was like, you know, why not now? You know, why not be able to say, yeah, he's playing well. And I think I'm comfortable enough in saying that maybe the Case Keenum of the LA Rams and the St. Louis Rams and the Texans, who were, like I say in the article, were just bad teams. that wasn't him. That was him. That was a fraud, Case Keenum. And that's essentially what I was trying to get at. In the essence of what I was saying.
Awesome. So I guess a couple last points here, and I want JR to hop in here, because one of the things you highlighted in the article was I think it was a tweet that maybe JR brought to our attention from Joe Goodberry, where he compared Andy Dalton's 2015 season, that was, you know, an incredible season, to Case Keenum 2017. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. So I guess, JR, from your perspective, is that a fair comp? Like, when you're looking at it, like Andy Dalton, Case Keenum, are they the kind of the same echelon, same type, same kind of quarterback when you study them on film?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair comparison. And we're talking about guys that had really good seasons when they were surrounded by arguably their best supporting cast during their playing time or during their careers. And we've seen Andy Dalton drop off a steep curve from that time in 2015. And we're not saying Case Keenum is going to drop off that curve as hard as Andy Dalton did, but their seasons are very comparable. I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but the numbers were very, very similar as far as air yards, touchdowns, interceptions, you know, completion percentage. And what you saw with the Bengals that year is their supporting cast was at their peak that year. AJ Green had a fantastic season. Eifert actually stayed healthy that year. And I think they did have I want to say they did have Sanu that year. So it's not taking anything away from Case Keenum. And that's what a lot of people aren't really understanding. With Yinka's article, he's not taking anything away from Case Keenum. And, I mean, we're just in a generation where they take a headline and they run with it. They don't really read what's going on inside of the entire article. They just see, oh, Case Keenum is a fraud. Oh, he's trying to discredit what Case Keenum has done this year. And that's not really what he was trying to do. He was just trying to say, be wary or be cautious of Case Keenum, you know, potentially falling off this steep cliff. If he does leave Minnesota, or even if he does stay in Minnesota, is he going to be able to replicate this success? And that's what we haven't seen with Andy Dalton. He hasn't replicated that 2015 season. And that's why I thought Joe's tweet was very similar, a very good comparison for Case Keenum. There was a lot of variables that went into Andy Dalton having that career year. And there's a lot of variables that's going into Case Keenum having this season or career best year. So, I mean, I actually enjoyed Yinka's article. I think a lot of people don't really understand the context of what went into Yinka's article or what he was really trying to say. But once you sit there and actually read his article and understand his message, I think that's when a lot of people really understand or better understand what he was trying to say, as opposed to just reading the headline and running with it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, JR. And the weird thing is, you know, not every person who was in my mentions, I do have to get a few shout outs to, first and foremost, Daily Norseman, who allows me to, you know, express these wild thoughts that obviously I never knew I could piss off that many people at one time. But
Yes, you did. You knew you could.
Yeah. But no, I did have a few people in my mentions, and I do have to, you know, not shout out by name, but just like the few people who, you know, were actually angry with the article. And then they actually went back and they're like, you know what? I did reread it, or I did actually read it after being initially upset at the headline and whatnot, and say, like, you know what? I didn't agree with everything. And but I actually read it and I kind of was starting to connect with what you were trying to say. And I think that's what maybe another underlying thing that I was trying to get at is, you know, we're not always going to agree on absolutely everything. And you're more than welcome to disagree. I know there's plenty of people who disagree with what I wrote and stuff. And I'm okay with that. But the fact that, you know, we can have good, healthy debate and talk about, a team that we all care about, you know, I care about the Vikings greatly. It was just good to sometimes to see in my mentions that some people are like, you know what, I took a step back from how I was feeling and really just kind of try to step into your shoes and see what you were trying to get at. And, you know, that might've changed my mind. I might still feel the same way, but I at least am not angry with you. I just disagree with you. And I think that you can disagree and not necessarily be angry with someone. So,
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess the last bit of context that I wanted to add to the whole thing is one of the things that you brought up was the supporting cast. And so, like, I've been tracking over the season kind of which quarterbacks are in the most, you know, QB friendly environments based on, you know, their receiving weapons, the pass blocking efficiency grade on the pass blocking efficiency score on Pro Football Focus, and then their run success rate. And right now, you know, Case Keenum is in the third most QB friendly environment in the NFL. Which isn't to say anything, you know, bad about Case Keenum, because when you look at the guys that are ahead of him, you got Drew Brees, you got Matt Ryan, and then rounding out your top five, you got Alex Smith, you got Ben Roethlisberger, you got Jared Goff in there, and you got, you know, Tom Brady. And if you're looking at passing efficiency in the NFL, most of the guys at the top of that list also have great supporting cast. You Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Alex Smith, Jared Goff, like all the guys at the top have great supporting cast. So pointing out the fact that this quarterback is doing well based on the fact that they have great players around them, it's been taken often as a slight, and I get it, but it really shouldn't be, because most of the quarterbacks who are towards the top of the league from a passing efficiency standpoint have a lot of help around them. What this really pointed out to me is how impressive Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson's seasons were before injury, because both of them are up there, and their supporting cast, when you kind of add it all up, weren't as strong as the other guys. So that was really what stood out for me. But it's not a slight to say that Case has great, you know, weapons around him. He has arguably the best receiving tandem in the league. And yeah, they are helping to elevate his play above a baseline that we've seen. And I guess we'll see going forward if Prince is right and that old Case Keenum was a fraud, and this new Case Keenum is the guy that we're going to see going forward. But I think we've covered all the bases on that one there. And, you know, there is a game, Packers game. Suppose, you know, it's our most hated rivals, etc., etc., etc. But I'm having a really tough time really getting like super amped up for this game, because the Packers kind of stink. I don't know, but JR, as you've kind of gone in and started to look at things a little bit, and we'll start with you and go through, I guess, what are you seeing in this game? What has you worried, if anything? What might be the game plan for the Packers as they, you know, look to try to pull off this upset in a game where they're, I think the last thing I saw was 8.5 point dogs at home for this game against the Vikings?
This is a tough matchup for the Packers going against the Vikings, simply because they just seem like they're in flux and all the air was taken out of them with the whole Aaron Rodgers, you know, going to IR thing this week. Everyone knows Aaron Rodgers is the leader of that team. He's the face of the franchise quarterback, arguably the best quarterback in team history. So whenever he's unable to play or whenever he's placed for an extended leave like he was on IR, it's a big blow for them. And what you saw last week, he was a tremendous lift for them despite throwing three interceptions and not being that same guy that we saw, you know, pre-injury. Of course, he had some rust to knock off, but he still was making those Aaron Rodgers heroic type of throws and uplifting that team. And they almost beat the Panthers, who is, you know, a very dangerous or capable team, playoff team right now. If they do keep winning, they will be a very dangerous playoff team. I think so anyway. But him coming off an extended absence, a broken collarbone, and he still was almost able to beat a borderline playoff team. So that just shows you how great Aaron Rodgers is. And everyone knows how good he is, man. I mean, everyone knows he's the best quarterback in the league and arguably the most talented from a throwing standpoint quarterback in NFL history. So just losing that type of talent is a tremendous blow to the Packers. And I mean, me personally, I'm not a big Brett Hundley fan. I think he's very limited. I know McCarthy tries to scheme some things in favor of Brett Hundley, but I just don't think he's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And what you're going to see today, I just think they're going to be heavy run oriented. I think they're going to feed Aaron Jones. They're going to feed Jamal Williams, just because both of those guys have had success when they were in there. And I just don't think you can put an entire workload on Brett Hundley and just tell him to go win the game with his arm. So I expect them to come out and try to, you know, really run between the tackles and lean on that offensive line to try to generate movement at the line of scrimmage, similar to what the Panthers did. And they don't have the talent up front that the Panthers had from a run blocking standpoint, but they will try to replicate some things from a game plan standpoint and just try to lean on that Vikings offensive front, simply because they're very limited with Brett Hundley as far as a thrower. And I think on the flip side of that, I think Minnesota is going to really focus on their run game because I think they know that's what they're going to do. And they're going to force the Packers to be more pass oriented and force Brett Hundley to make throws down the field in order to beat them. From a Vikings offensive standpoint, I expect them to come out and probably, you know, they're going to try to throw the ball. Case Keenum hasn't experienced an environment like this as far as the temperatures and the environment of Lambeau Field. And if he does, you know, struggle early like we have seen, you know, if he does struggle with some down the field throws early on, I think Shermer's going to start to lean on that run game a little bit and then try to ease Case Keenum into some throws down the field. But I do expect the Vikings, you know, to have a lot of success, especially against that secondary and that front that's a little banged up.
And one of the things you just touched on there in terms of, you know, maybe Green Bay trying to copy the, I guess we'll say the playbook that Carolina used against us going with the bully ball. And when we were talking about it before, and I think when you think about it, you think of Carolina having kind of more talent across that that offensive line, especially in the interior there. But when you look at you know, rushing success rates on the season, Green Bay is actually third in the league in rush success rate, which was something that was actually surprising to me that they were actually able to, they've been able to run the ball with that much success over the course of this season. Can I guess knowing that, knowing the environment that we're going to be in, and I'll flip it to JR first, and then we can kind of go through. I guess, does that make you at all worried about, you know, maybe this could be that letdown game for us, you know, based on just how well Green Bay has been able to rush the ball over the course of the season?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, everyone knows the Packers aren't going to lay down. That's just not their culture. That's not their, you know, stigma. They're just not going to lay down. They're not a team that just absolutely quits like we saw last week with the Bengals. That's just not their forte. That's not what they're going to do. And everyone knows in rivalry games, it's a toss-up. Throw the records out the window, you know, throw the streaks out the window. A rivalry game, anything is bound to happen. So this game does worry me a little bit, especially with the added elements with the weather. We haven't really experienced a frigid game with this team this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to the Packers.
Yeah, Miles, what about you, man? What are your thoughts as we go into this game? You worried at all? You worried about a letdown? I know I'm having a tough time getting up for the game. Do you have any worries that maybe the team is in the same spot where they're seeing, you know, Aaron Rodgers is out and players from the Packers going on IR and, you know, pass rushers, like the defense is losing players and all those things. Are you at all worried about a letdown, or do you feel like this is going to be easy work like the Bengals was?
I think it's kind of got that combination. I mean, it definitely, this game reminds me more of like a the Bears and, you know, going to Chicago and going to Soldier Field, and one of those, like, no matter what team they field, it's going to be a probably end up being a close game. And, you know, the Vikings probably won't play at 100%. They probably won't, you know, give, you know, it'll be one of those games that gives you a headache because they should be destroying a really bad football team, and the score will probably be a lot closer than it should be. That's the kind of game I expect, especially with the weather. You brought up some really good points about, you know, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones and their run game, and kind of comparing it to Cam Newton and the Panthers. But I think the issue that the Packers run into that the Panthers don't is having Cam Newton. Brett Hundley obviously isn't Cam Newton. Brett Hundley can't throw the ball the way Cam can. He also can't run the ball the way Cam can. So I think the nice thing for the Vikings is I think they can load up the box and be only worried about the run, because the pass shouldn't really be an issue, especially in the cold weather, without their best wide receiver and Davante Adams. And then you look at kind of the flip side for the Vikings. I think they're going to go into this with the mindset that we need to keep winning because we need to make sure we secure one of the top two seeds and heading into the playoffs. Cause you want to be a host team for the playoffs. You want that one seed. So you can't get it if you lose. So you have to, you have to make sure you win out these last two games, and, you know, it starts this week. And going into Lambeau is never an easy thing to do, like we talked about. And so I do think that they're going to take this game the way that they kind of did the Bengals last week, where I think they're just going to come out firing on all cylinders, but they're going to make sure that they want to put their foot in the gas and make sure they don't let up heading late into the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, and they want to have a good substantial lead. So that, you know, maybe they can rest some players. I think that's kind of the mindset. But it all starts with, you know, starting off fast, which the weather could play a part in. But I think we'll be able to rely on the run too, and wear down their defense a little bit more than they could wear down ours. So I think it should be one of those games that we handle fairly easy, but you never know.
And JR kind of hinted at a little bit, and then you just talked about resting players. And there's a take that's been floating around a little bit about, you know, the Packers looking for retaliation because Anthony Barr hurt Aaron Rodgers. I guess what's your take on that? Should Anthony Barr be worried going into this game, or any more worried than he would be going into any football game, just based on kind of what happened earlier in the season with Aaron Rodgers?
For me, I think it's more of fans than it would be players. I know the players will be frustrated. But I don't know if it'll be Anthony Barr specific that they'll be mad at. I just think, you know, there might be some more jawing than you might see, a little more extracurricular after the play. But I'm not really worried about like guys getting overly cheap. I think it'll be more enhanced, and I think there's gonna be more of a notice, you know, on TV that you'll see. But I don't think it'll be any more than what you'd normally see between a Viking Packer game. I don't expect it. I expect the fans to be worse than the players on the field.
And Saxy Prince, last but certainly not least, I guess, what are your thoughts going into this game? How do you think it's going to go? What do you think it's going to look like? And what are your thoughts on the whole Anthony Barr going to Lambeau after injuring Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I'd be lying to you guys if I said, you know, I'm not worried that there might not be a, you know, not like a dive at the knee type thing, but, you know, just like a late, like shoulder, you know, like a bump or whatever the case is. But I think it's like something we should already kind of expect going into this game. You have two division teams. I mean, we saw earlier in the season where, was it Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, they were kind of going at it. I mean, like, these division arrivals, they like don't like each other for a reason. Obviously, you're competing with these guys multiple times a year, and sometimes even three times a year, where you have to keep going against the same guys. I just think that obviously this is more of a narrative that the media wants to push forth. And, you know, every time, you know, Anthony Barr gets hit or you know, another player gets hit or whatever, you know, it just becomes a, oh, well, that's just, you know, payback and whatnot. Whereas I think it's just going to be pretty naturally chippy because the Packers are frustrated and, you know, the Vikings have a lot to play for still. They're in the playoffs, but they still need to, you know, wrap up that first round bye, get guys healthy, come back, all that stuff. So as far as that, I think it's going to be chippy. I don't think it's going to be any more enhanced than it already was going to be, but I think that's what the narratives will be, you know, because of the stories. But as far as this game, I still think we need to go in and we need to handle our business. I think Brett Hundley has played better over the last couple weeks than he did when we first saw him. And I think even in that game, you started to see him click with the offense a little bit more. He hasn't played a lot of football. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been healthy most of his career. So, you know, Brett Hundley is still essentially kind of a rookie getting his feet underneath him. So I don't want us to get, you know, play too relaxed. I want us to go in there, handle our business. You know, I don't want it to be a close game, to be perfectly honest. It'd be nice if we can just sweep the Packers and, you know, and be able to say that we have, because we haven't done that in years. But, you know, it could be a big game for any number of things. I want us to get up, you know, so much where, you know, you really can start pulling out your starters. And then not only are your starters getting a game of rest, you know, if, you know, we really do lock up that first round bye, but, you know, maybe getting a game and a half because we're up by so much in like the first half or, you know, first three quarters, whatever the case is. So
we know where you're going here. You just want things to get wrapped up so you can see your son on the field again. We understand.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely that aspect of it. But no, but in all seriousness, you know, if we can, I'd be okay with Riley Reiff again sitting out. It looks like he's probably going to sit out again. But really get everyone healthy and ready for this playoff push. We're going to need everyone at full strength. Defensively, most importantly, but definitely on the offense as well too. So let's just get guys. Let's win the game, and then, you know, get guys healthy for a playoff push.
Yeah, and one thing that I will definitely, because you kind of touched on it there as well. One of the things I think I will definitely be bothered by in this game is if, you know, renowned cheap shot artist Clay Matthews takes a cheap shot on someone and they try to spin that as him standing up for his teammate versus the fact that he's just a cheap shot artist and has been doing that throughout his entire career and really doesn't need an excuse to look to take a cheap shot on someone. I think that'll bother me a little bit because, you know, he's already that dude. He doesn't need an excuse in his football. These guys are going out there playing hard every week. So, yeah, I feel like that, like you said, that narrative's a little bit overblown, blown up. It's kind of become a bit of a media creation, I guess. But let's move it along here because Yinka started to go there a little bit and then pulled himself back. So, Prince, we'll start with you, man. What is your bold prediction and what is your score prediction for this game?
Bold prediction. Let's see. I think the Vikings go up 4 touchdowns in the first half this game. And score prediction, and the game would end up being, do the math, 45-16.
Man. Well, all right then.
Good God.
I mean, hey.
I hope it's not close.
Okay, so let's follow up question on this one, because the last time you had like a big score, pretty, like how many passing yards is Case having this time around? Like, are we actually going to have a reasonable amount of passing from Case, or is it all happening on the ground this week?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge like down the field passing, but I think he's going to get a lot of yak yards. That's kind of been the MO over the last couple of weeks. So I think he throws for somewhere like 355 yards, and I think he's responsible for 3 out of those 4 touchdowns through the air.
Boom.
In the first half.
Like it. JR. I feel like your bold prediction is going to be a little bit more reserved than Saxy Prince's, but what you got for us, man?
I think the weather is going to factor a lot into this game, and I think it's going to be a ground and pound game, not a lot of possessions. I got it 17-13. I think the Vikings are going to win. It's just a rivalry game, and I mean, these games are a toss up, and like I said, I think the weather is going to play a lot into this game. I think Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray will combine for 200 rushing yards, and I think they'll be responsible for both touchdowns in the game.
Well, I hope you're wrong, JR, and so does my fantasy team, because I need Case Keenum to get those touchdowns. Even if he just, throws them real quick there to Jerick or Latavius. You know, just quick toss, even a little.
I hope I'm wrong too, Jason, because I don't need Case Keenum to do well. I need him in our fantasy.
I need all the points. So. Need all the points. Miles, what you got, man? Bold prediction, score prediction.
JR kind of took my bold prediction, but that's all right. I'm gonna do 200 all-purpose yards for Jerick McKinnon this week. I don't know what he was at last week. I know it's pretty close, but I feel like he's gonna be the guy this week. Just because I think, you know, we're gonna need him too, because I don't expect a lot of, you know, deep passes and everything like that. So I'll go Jerick McKinnon, 200 total all-purpose yards, and I'm gonna go 20-10.
Yeah, everyone but Yanka hitting the under on this game, because I need it.
Weather's a factor, so it's got kind of, I don't know, expected to be.
Because I need it, I'm going to go ahead and try to just, you know, speak it into existence. Case Keenum has his best game of the season. How many touchdowns do you have him for, Yinka?
3.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have him for 4, 2 rushing, 2 passing, because, you know, I need all that. Get me all my points. And for the score prediction,
I need Case Keenum to have him.
And then
game, man. I'm in the
nope, not happening. Case Keenum is balling out this week. And for my bold prediction, I'm gonna say the Vikings rediscover their deep passing game this week and they rack up 5 completions that are 20 yards down the field, because they've had 1, I think, in the past 4 weeks. So I think this is the week that they go and they do work on that suspect Green Bay secondary and get some deep passes down the field. Yeah, so that's what I'm going with there. But before we get on out of here, because, you know, there's one question I gotta ask for all of y'all here. I guess, who's playing in a championship for fantasy football this week? Anyone?
So I didn't want to be the one to toot my own horn or anything, but we have around these parts we had Climb the Pocket, Dynasty League, and whatnot.
I don't know what he's talking about. Do you guys know what he's talking about? I don't know.
Because of
JR, sure as hell don't know what he's talking about.
Facts.
Because of the Vikings defense last week, it kind of propelled me to get into the Climb the Pocket championship. So I'm facing. Who am I facing this week? Who went 12-1 in our league, or 11-1, whatever it was?
I'm pretty sure that was Kelso. I think it was Kelso.
Yeah, okay. He and I are going at it. Like I said, I need Case Keenum to not have a good week. He can have a good week next week if he ends up playing. But yeah, I'm hoping to get this W. So
okay. And Miles, man, how about you? I think you're in the finals in what, two leagues? Oh man, just like that, Miles just dropped off. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. But yeah, Miles, there he is, Miles.
Yes.
How many leagues are you in the finals for, man?
I'm in two of my three. Yeah, two of my three. My big 16-team league. I'm in that championship for that one. Best friends. It's a tough one just because I have to root against Adam Thielen tomorrow. So there's that. And then my other league, I have Zeke coming back, and I need him to have a big game.
Boo.
I'm excited. It's a big weekend for me, so boo. I could win a lot. I could win quite a bit of money if I win both leagues. So I need to win.
And so once you get those winnings, we need you to invest some of that in some internets.
No.
You've been good for the last little bit, though. Well, all right. I think we covered everything we need to cover today. As Yanka, you got any more bombs you're dropping on us over the next couple of weeks? Or are you going to take a little bit of a break, let your mentions thin out before you drop anything new?
I mean, I have some stuff. Like, again, I always have stuff in the drafts. But, yeah, I think I'll take a break this weekend. Have to get back to Saturday. I'm going to end up dropping Saxy Saturday on Sunday just because of, you know, game preparation and some other stuff. So Saxy Saturdays will probably move.
What, game preparation? You got to stretch out before the game?
Yeah, man. You got to get loose and limber. you know, I might. I have some things that I need to, like, get done on specifically on Saturday. My brother, yeah, obviously, as you guys know, he's kind of getting ready to, you know, prepare to try to go pro and whatnot. So I'm helping him do a lot of stuff that he needs to get done before some of that process, pro day, all that stuff's going on.
You working on his interceptions with you too then, or what?
Yes, exactly.
Well, all right. I guess we'll be on the lookout for Saxy sometime this weekend. Miles? I won't even bother you. We'll just keep it moving right along. JR,
lots of travel this week for me.
Oh yeah, man. Like, you had like 8 Thanksgivings. How many Christmases you got to go to?
I'm only doing 2 this year. So 3 technically, actually. 3.
Okay. All right. And JR, man. Anything on deck? You know, you hit us with a surprise mock. Even though I'm not really sure why you're looking ahead to the off season. I mean, you got the playoffs and stuff coming up. But anything else you got working on?
Well, I was going to drop Reading Between the Lines yesterday, but decided to hold off on that for a little while. So I'll probably drop that in the next few weeks. And go read the mock draft. Don't just look at the picks. I know a lot of fans do that, and I get a lot of questions like, just read it, please.
Read it. Well, all right. Y'all, thanks for pulling this together. Emergency recording. Quick, fast, and a hurry here. And y'all out there, thanks for listening to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon.